Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined as we have the privilege of being each week by Bill Gertz, the man who takes us for deep dives inside the ring. That is, of course, the title of his prize-winning column at the Washington Times. He is also a senior editor at the Washington Free Beacon, a tremendous online resource. Bill is the author of myriad books on various issues affecting national security, including several on China. The latest is The Failure Factory, How Unelected Bureaucrats Are Undermining U.S. Security. Bill, welcome back. It's always good to have a chance to talk with you.
Hi, Frank. Good to be on the program.
Well, you cover intensively, Bill, the issue of China, and particularly the developments that suggest its military capacity is becoming very formidable indeed. Some would argue surpassing our own in some respects. And yet, you've written in your Inside the Ring column about a report that was done for the U.S.-China Economic and Security Commission that suggests that the Chinese have a whole host of problems with their military that may make them less formidable than some of us may think. What's your net assessment?
Yeah, this is an interesting story. It was a special report done for the China Commission by the RAND Corporation, and it looked at Chinese military weaknesses. My initial reaction was, oh, this is an effort to try and portray the PLA as a junkyard army and not worth worrying about. But after reading it, it made some valid points. And one of the points that it made, and a U.S. government official told me this, is that these weaknesses are important to learn because the Chinese tend to miscalculate. And this could be the basis for some miscalculation. If they believe that they are stronger than they are, there's this tendency, especially within the top military brass, to try and use the military, and that could lead to something that could be a shooting conflict, either over Taiwan or the East China Sea or the South China Sea. So I think it's instructive to look closely at some of the shortcomings in the military, and that's what the report did. It looked at their institutional weaknesses within the leadership, said that it's, a party army. It's not a national army. It's basically an arm of the Communist Party, and their main goal is to keep the party in power, and therefore this makes it more difficult from a morale standpoint to build a professional military. As far as weapon systems go, the PLA still is rather untrained and lacks the ability to integrate some of these more advanced weapon systems. Now, it did mention that their military buildup was impressive, but again, it was just for strategic reasons it was highlighting these weaknesses.
Do you think, Bill, that those are correctable problems, that as the Chinese professionalize their military, as they modernize it, as they bring additional resources to bear, that they're likely to sort these things out? Or are these simply insurmountable given the nature of the Chinese regime itself?
Well, no, it was based on Chinese reports of the weaknesses and efforts to address those weaknesses, efforts to fix them. The bottom line was that it's going to be difficult for them to do that because of the way their system is structured. Basically, it's a communist-dominated system that doesn't trust the military outside of this tight party controls.
We will be following that closely. One of the areas in which there is no question the Chinese have demonstrated fairly formidable capabilities, Bill Gertz, is with respect to cyber warfare. Specifically, they are credited with having broken into and stolen, I believe, tens of millions of files of personal health-related information from the Anthem outfit, a major health insurer in the United States. What, from your perspective, Bill, does that suggest might now be available to the Chinese in terms of information, data, that could be exploited by them for intelligence purposes or perhaps others?
Yeah, I wrote about this on my Flash Critic cyber threat news site last weekend. Basically, the Anthem hack was traced to China by security analysts who noted that the domain from which these attacks occurred was one that was associated with a group called Deep Panda, which has been identified by security experts as a very sophisticated state-sponsored Chinese hacking organization. So that's the first thing. There is, of course, the people are hemming and hawing about whether it was really China or not, but it's clear that the indicators are that it was a Chinese attack. Stealing 80 million records focused on this Anthem, which is a health provider in key areas, for example, in California and New York, where there are a lot of national security and defense industrial facilities. So this is a way for the Chinese to get personal information on people who could be targets of intelligence recruitment or further cyber attacks down the road. So that seems to be the motivation at this point.
Bill, as this is happening, the United States government has announced that it's going to undergo yet another reorganization of its cyber warfare program. What do you make of the fact that the Office of the Director of National Intelligence is now being entrusted with a new set of, institutional responsibilities in this regard?
Well, simply put, Frank, it's a bad idea. Lisa Monaco, who's the White House counterterrorism advisor, gave a speech this week where she discussed the creation of the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center, what they're calling CITIC. And she was saying that there's a gap exists in their ability to share intelligence. This is really a mistake because the U.S. intelligence community already has a premier cyber threat intelligence and cyber attack agency, and that's the NSA. But this putting this new center under the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, reflects the bias on the part of the administration against NSA, against the military in general. So I think it's a bad idea. We already have, it's going to be another duplicative effort, which is usually creates more bureaucracy rather than creates government efficiencies.
Yeah, and additional layers of bureaucracy generally are counterproductive as well, Bill, as you know so well from, among other things, your book on the subject of these bureaucrats. Talk a bit, if you would, Bill, in closing, about the confirmation by the United States Senate of Ashton Carter to be the next Secretary of Defense. What changes, if any, you think he's going to be able to make, especially in light of the administration, really, before he finished testifying before the Senate Armed Services Committee, cutting him off at the knees?
Yeah, Ash Carter is going to have a very difficult challenge in taking the helm at the Pentagon right now. He's dealing with this the biggest budget crisis that the Pentagon has ever faced in sequestration, and I don't see any short-term solution to that. Although we hear a lot of pleas from both the executive branch and from the Congress about ending sequestration, nobody has really taken the steps to do that, and that's really leading to a budget crisis right now. So that's going to be his main challenge there. In addition to that, he's going to have to deal with a White House that seems hell-bent on concluding any deal whatsoever on Iran's nuclear program, and that to me is a real problem. I see no good coming out of a rush to a nuclear deal with Iran.
Bill, finally, you have a new initiative, which Ash Carter, among others, will be throwing himself into, I guess, on Capitol Hill, namely the president's draft authorization for the use of military force, both based on your expertise within the Pentagon and what you do in tracking developments on the Hill. Where do you think that's going to go?
Well, you know, I'm hopeful that cooler heads will prevail in at least shaping an authorization to recognize that the conventional military force solution for terrorism is not working. What we really need is a authorization on the use of information warfare and ideological warfare against Islamic terrorism. That's really what's needed. And until we start waging ideological war against this jihadist enemy, we're going to be stuck with endless war. The president said in his remarks that unless we do this right, we're going to be saddled with he opposes endless war, but yet by failing to wage ideological war, he is in fact crippling us with an endless war.
Yeah, condemning us to that fate, precisely. Bill Gertz, as always, we appreciate very much your visiting with us and sort of doing a wrap-up at the end of the week on all of these issues, which you cover so well at the Washington Free Beacon and at the Washington Times. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week. Next up, we'll be talking with Cliff Kincaid. We'll get his assessment of the World Revolution Report, including what would seem to be an unlikely revolutionary in the Vatican. That and more straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.